Cortana, start the podcast.
Playing Palette Swap Ninja.
Jimmy just left the mall. They had no games at all. He stopped by to play Daytona USA. The arcade closed its doors back in 2004. In just a few years, the coin-ops disappeared. He was gonna own an arcade. He was gonna rent a space. He was gonna get some neon to illuminate the place.
Hello, Nurse! Geezer Gamers Community Cast, episode number 199. It's Wednesday, January 14th, 2015. I'm your host, Cyber Knight. Having a little network problem here on my side, so I'm having to call in by cell phone. So we'll see how this goes. And I'd like to thank Firemedic41 for taking the helm last week. Probably about 90% back on my voice, so but it's good to actually have a voice again. Looks like I've got somebody joining me. Hey, Musly.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, doing pretty good. How you doing, man?
Yeah, you lost your sexy phlegm there.
Yeah. And I don't feel bad about it at all. There's some advantages to not having a voice, though. I mean, when I had the whisper, my kids would often whisper back to me, so it was kind of nice. And, you know, if trying to get their attention, they'd have to quiet down to hear me, so that was kind of a bonus. And then plus, when I'm at work and people know that I don't have a voice, they don't bother you with questions and things that make you actually interact and talk and just kind of leave you alone and let you do your work. So there's, you know, kind of advantages to that. And I'm kind of milking that at work, to be honest. I haven't, still haven't said a lot. So they still think I'm sick enough not to talk, which is kind of nice.
Well, good to have you back, buddy. Good to have you back.
Thanks. Definitely good to be back. So, Musly, what you been playing lately?
Buddy, I'm still working my way through the Halo Master Chief Collection. I just finished, what is it, Selvo Highway? I forgot how much I love that level of Halo 3. It's a lot of fun.
Nice one.
So, working on that. Also, snapping threes is amazing. I've always liked the snap feature, but being able to play a game snap to the side while watching Netflix, it's opened a new window into this Xbox One that I hadn't thought of before. So, been working my way through that.
Yeah, I hope they do that more often. The Tetris game that came out, I was kind of hoping that would also be one of those things you could snap, but apparently not. But that's something that'll happen more often, because that's kind of a cool little feature there.
It is. I was actually just thinking about that. The Tetris game being snappable would have been an awesome little added feature, but they decided to use too much horsepower or something, I guess. So.
No, I don't know. How much horsepower does Tetris need, really?
Yeah, that's kind of why I thought it should be snappable, right? So.
Yeah. Although, I don't know if you played... EA has a Tetris game, a free Tetris game that has achievements on the Windows Phone, but
The Blitz?
Yes, but it is so buggy and resource intensive. I could feel my phone heating up because it was, you know, sucking down battery life.
Just starting to melt the case.
Exactly. It was just awful. A horrible programming job, which I guess I shouldn't be surprised considering who it's from. And, of course, loaded with I didn't even call them microtransactions. They're more like macro transactions because they're like several dollars just to add a feature to the game is absolutely obnoxious. And it made me so upset. I wrote a blog post about it.
So while you've been recuperating, what have you been playing?
Yeah, so I only got a few words to touch on it last week, but I have been playing Master Chief Collection. I tried playing some last night or two nights ago, because they released some new achievements, some of them around the Spartan Ops, but a lot of them are multiplayer based, which is kind of annoying. But there's nothing too obnoxious except for one, which I'll get to in a minute, but they're very grindy, like earning 200 Killjoy medals. I mean, if you're playing it, you're going to get one every once in a while, but that's still a lot of games you have to play. And then medals specific to certain game types, like Capture the Flag and King of the Hill. So I figured, I might as well start at least playing some multiplayer and getting a little bit of credit to that. And it was taking forever to find a match. I was sitting there for a good 10 minutes before I could get into a match. There's one playlist that's available for objective games, and it's the ranked one. And I thought, okay, well, people are going to be playing that, I hope. And I don't know if there was just not enough people or network problems or what the deal was. But yeah, it just still took a long time just to get into a freaking game. I played two games in an hour. I mean, this is still ridiculous. And I don't know what their problem is, but they need to fix it. They need to stop working. I don't know if this applies, but because, different teams work on different things, but they've got the Halo 5 beta out there and Halo Master Chief Collection still doesn't work. And if there are people that can be working on it, they need to be. They need to be pulled off of everything else and fix the game that they've released. Ugh.
I agree.
So annoyed.
I'm actually starting to wonder if maybe the population just crumbled because the launch of it was so unbelievably bad. And
yeah,
that
it wouldn't surprise
probably
me.
Doesn't
yeah.
help anything. So
yeah. That would not surprise me at all. And I would not blame anybody who walked away from the game after this launch because it's irritating. It's ridiculous. And one of the achievements that came out is, I don't know where they came up with this, but the achievement is in Halo 1 matchmaking, or actually it's just multiplayer, doesn't have to be matchmaking, which is good because I think I'm going to be setting this up at some point. You have to launch a Warthog, have it in the air for 5 seconds, and then splatter somebody.
Wow.
That's
a long hang time. Yeah.
It's incredibly long hang time. And Halo 1 didn't have things like man cannons or things that would launch. I mean, you're talking, Warthog trick jumping there just to get it into the air. And I don't know how anybody would do that without, specifically
without
setting up a custom game. And yeah, and there's no grav lift. Where are you going to? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. There's no forge mode either for setting this up. It's just, you got to work with what you got. And, we can't all be Randall Glass. We can't all do these Warthog trick jumpings. But apparently that's what they want us to do. So I don't know. And, of course, there are all those achievements for Spartan Ops, including completing it solo on Legendary. Spartan Ops is kind of made for co-op play, and they want you to play it through solo, which fortunately there's a glitch for that. So.
In fact, it shows up in the multiplayer section of the game. So
yeah, go figure. Although there's no matchmaking or anything to find people to play with. I'm very disappointed in 343's handling of all of this, really. Have been playing a little bit of Warframe. From what I can get out of it, it's still pretty good. I don't feel quite the draw to go back and play it very often, though. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't have that bug of that bites me for going in and grinding and leveling up, and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. Been playing the Halo 5 beta. I really enjoy it when I get to playing that. You know, it feels like another evolution of Halo. It's not the same as it was before, but I like the things they've done with it. It's definitely a lot faster paced. I love the clamber mechanic, where if you jump close to a ledge, you can grab onto it and climb up. And the thing I really love about that is I was never very good at trick jumping or getting the jumps just right to get up to places. And this gives me like that second chance. You know, if I just miss the ledge, but I'm right there, I can grab it and climb up and I can still make it and I can get to all these places. So it feels like more of the map is open to a mediocre player such as myself. And I don't have to be in, you know, a Halo trickster to get up to these high jumping locations. So
yeah, and sometimes the dash can come in pretty handy with that stuff too. I like the little dash ability. I find myself forgetting about it, but it's handy when I remember to use it.
Yeah, I have, for some reason, I've got this mental block on the bumpers, where one bumper is throw a grenade, the other bumper is dash. And I always get those two backwards. When I want to throw a grenade, I end up dashing into the enemy and, you know, dying because I wanted to actually stay back and throw a grenade. And if I want to dash in, I'll hit the other bumper first, throw the grenade, instantly realize my mistake, so I'll hit the other bumper, and then I'll end up dashing right to where I just threw the grenade and kill myself. I don't know why I can't get that through my head, that left is grenade, right's dash. I don't know why that's backwards to me, but so
I've got so many different control schemes in my head right now. I keep trying to melee people with the bumper, and then I'm like, what game was that? Oh, that was Destiny. I'm playing Halo, the Master Chief Collection. That's currently Reload, and then I'll go into Halo 5, and I don't know what button's what. So. Yeah,
I can't use my control scheme on Halo 5. I usually use green thumb, but it's to zoom, it's the left trigger. It's aim down sights. And I like that mechanic. I think it's playing really well. But it's just, you're right. It's another thing I have to think about, because if I've been playing other Halo, I think it's click a stick to zoom for most of my control schemes,
yep.
Except for
yep.
one of them, which it's, I think B button does it. I don't even know anymore, but yeah. So they've got three game modes right now in the beta, and one of them's just straight up Slayer, which is, you know, fine. Another one is, I don't know where they came up with these names, but it's called Breakout, but it's really kind of a last man standing kind of thing. You're 4-on-4. And it's just, when you die, you're out for that round. And when everybody on your team dies, it resets the round and you're on to the next round. It's the first to win 5 rounds. That is really intense. I can really feel my blood start pumping and adrenaline rushing as I play that. It's something about that, you know, one life and that's it. It's just really, it really makes for an intense game. And then what was the last one? Oh, the last one's like territories. Kind of an interesting thing they've done with the territories one is, instead of getting points when you capture one, you have to capture two. So there's 3 points on the map, and you only score if you're holding two of them at any given time. So I kind of like that, but I've noticed that the games tend to be a lot more lopsided. It seems like one team almost always dominates the other. So maybe it's not working out as much as I think it. I like it, so I don't know. Have you played the beta
yet? What's your
opinion?
I have not played the beta since the first weekend. I've been grinding on the achievements, but what's your opinion on the balancing? Because when I was first playing that first weekend, it seemed like I'd get a really good game, and then I'd get put into a game where I'd get like 2 kills and 20 deaths or something like that. Do you feel like they've done anything with the balancing throughout the beta yet?
You know, it's kind of hard to say. I'm not sure how I feel about it, because I'll have a game where I do pretty well, and then the game I'll get crushed, and it seems to kind of alternate. So I don't feel like I go on a streak where I'm constantly matched up against better players than me. So I think that's, you know, on balance, it kind of balances out. But yeah, I wouldn't say every game is evenly matched. But you know, overall, I think it seems to reshuffle and balance the teams, or at least, you know, flip them back and forth. But the level up system I'm not too keen on, and reason being is, you know, you can play the best game out of anybody on either team in straight up Slayer, where, you know, the objective is to get kills and not die. So you can have the highest kill death assist ratio of anybody in the match, but if the rest of your team fails, you lose ranking points. And that seems a little messed up to me. I understand the theory that, you know, it's a team game, so you kind of have to work towards that objective.
Yep.
But, you know, if the people you met are paired with really suck, and I'm not talking my level of suck, I'm talking, you know, 20 levels below my level of suck, that, you know, there's just nothing you can do, you're still penalized for that. And I don't like that at all. Of course,
yeah,
I can understand
that
the flip side
thing.
Is you can't really, you don't want to reward people for being the lone wolf where they're getting all the kills but leaving the rest of the team hanging. So I can understand that, but it's still, I don't know.
Yeah, I did notice that my rank bounced a ton when I was playing. The little blue bar would go up, and then the next game it would drop down farther than it went up the next game.
Right.
So, yeah, it really fluctuated quite a bit for me those first few games. I don't know if it would have leveled out had I played more and built up more of a backlog of kill-death ratio or something, but it was it was bouncing quite frequently. So,
yeah.
All in all, I really love the game, and I'll definitely be picking that up. So, not to say too many bad things about it, but yeah, the level bouncing was odd.
Yeah, and what kind of concerns me is the way they've been doing their achievements. I have a feeling there's going to be an achievement for ranking up, and because that's the way they seem to be rolling, and I don't care for that. No. But I'm just an achievement whore anyway, so. let's see. Other things I've been playing. I played a little bit of Minecraft, just because that's what my kids do. We got the Lego, the movie, the video game. One of the kids got it for Christmas, so we played that. And I played that with my youngest son, and we went through the entire campaign one day. That's a lot of fun. I really enjoy the Lego games, and this one was no exception. It was pretty cool. That was actually an interesting story about Christmas. Is, you know, I think we got 3 games for Christmas. 2 of them on the Xbox One, and the Lego game we got on the 360 because, well, it was $10 cheaper, and it's the same game. So why wouldn't you? So my kids got to experience firsthand this next-gen issue of having to install games. So they put in Skylanders Trap Team, which they were excited to play, and put it in. Oh, we got to install it, and install, and wait. But, you know, the Lego game on the 360, we put the disc in, we started playing. It was just that easy. Yeah, I'm not sure why this installing thing has to be a thing. Well, I guess I know why, because the Blu-ray drive is too slow, but I'm not convinced that it's the best thing, and especially since the hard drive is now filling up, and I'm starting to look at external hard drives just so I can play more games.
I've already got a 4 terabyte sitting on top of my Xbox, so I feel your pain. But yep. At the same time, I do all my digital downloads, and I go to bed, and the next day I'm ready to play. So at least I'm not, well, yeah, most of the time I'm not sitting there going, come on, install. Have been there, but not often, because usually I'll grab the phone and buy something while I'm at work, or pre-order it and hope that it's not broken. But yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from with the install thing. And without an external hard drive, I would really prefer a disk, because the bandwidth I've been sucking down lately is pretty insane.
Yeah, well, I mean, even with the disk, it all has to be installed anyway. So, unfortunately, you don't save anything. You know, if you get it on disk, you still have to install it. It basically is the delivery medium, where you can either get the bits over the internet or get the bits off of the Blu-ray disk. But they're both going to your hard drive either way. So,
yep.
Even having the disk doesn't help you, unfortunately. We also got Assassin's Creed Unity. Now I'm glad that Ubisoft has been working to fix it, and they gave away. In fact, it's out now. They said they're giving away the first DLC pack, making it absolutely free for everybody. Which I'm glad they decided to do it that way, because we didn't play it as soon as we got it. I did do a pre-order so we could get an extra bonus mission with it, but it stayed, you know, wrapped up until Christmas, and that was when we opened it. And actually, by then, I haven't had very many. I don't think I've had any issues actually with it at all. It's been really smooth. The only complaint I have is the very, very long load times between levels and loading things up. It's a lot of staring at loading screens, which I don't care for too much. Other than that, the issues that have been reported with that, they seem to have, as far as I can tell, they fixed them. I haven't had any issues with floating NPCs or people rendered without
faces.
Skin, any of that.
Yeah
missing faces, nothing like that. So good on Ubisoft. And like I said, that mission that was going to be paid DLC that they decided to make for free is available as of yesterday. So I've got that downloaded too. So impressed with the way they've handled their big mistake. 343 needs to step up their game. I also play just recently. There's the games with gold for this month for the X-Bone is D4, Dark Dreams Don't Die. That game is pretty messed up.
Is it? I've grabbed it. I haven't fired it up yet, though.
Oh, man, that is a weird one. Holy cow. It's I don't quite know what's happening yet. From what I can gather, you play as a police detective or something, and your wife was killed by somebody you were investigating, and somehow you've obtained this power of being able to grab an item and then go back in time to where that item was and relive events, and you're trying to solve the murder of your wife or something. I don't know exactly, and it's just weird. It's kind of a point and click kind of game with a lot of quick timer events. So pretty casual, but pretty psychologically messed up, man. You can play it with the Kinect, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's, you know, trying to, you know, get your hand in the right position and grab onto something. I like the you know, Kinect's come a long way than it was before. You can, you know, move your hand and just close your hand on something and you can grab it and interact with it. But the tracking is still just doesn't feel as precise as, you know, taking a controller and moving your little crosshairs onto what you want to get. I feel like I'm fumbling around in the air to try to get the on-screen hand where it needs to be. So it's a neat idea, but I just don't think it's quite there yet.
Yeah. The one thing I did see, I pulled up a Twitch stream of it when it first came out, and there was some guy, like, swiping, like, I don't know what they were. They were, like, clover leaves. He was, like, just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. He was, like, doing it over and over and over again. Is it just a whole lot of minigames, like, compressed into a story somehow, or...?
No, not really. Not that I've seen.
Not really?
There is that segment, and it did feel rather long as you're just kind of swiping back and forth and picking up these little floaty things. But that's at least from what I've played so far, that was a very small part of it.
Okay, so I just jumped in at an awkward spot then.
They were just kind of quick timer events when I was playing with the controller. But I could see if you were doing it with the Kinect, it would feel more like if you played Disney Fantasia. There's a demo available for it. It's a Kinect game. Basically, it's kind of a cross between Rock Band and what would be the other game that would cross? Maybe like Dance Dance Revolution. Where you'd have to swipe your hand in time with the beat at certain points and do things with it. There was a fight that I was having on an airplane with a bad guy, and I'd have to push both sticks on the controller from down left to up right and pull the trigger at the end of the swipe. So I could see that if you were doing it with your arms and had to swipe your arms up to match this motion. It would feel kind of like that. So yeah, it's free for the month. So grab it if you haven't, give it a shot, and tell me if you understand it, because I don't. So yeah, all right. Some of the news that came out over the past few weeks, which I was too out of sorts last week to cover. 343 has come out with their list of things that they're going to give to people who've played the Master Chief Collection and trying to struggle through it. And this is why I said I liked Ubisoft's method a little better, is giving the DLC for everybody. Because for 343, they're only giving it to people who played from any time from launch through the 19th of December. So that, you know, that first, you know, month and a half-ish, when the game was really, really bad, I guess, they're saying those are the people who we're going to give this to. So if you, you know, picked it up and waited for Christmas to open it, you're kind of screwed out of this, even though the game is still not entirely fixed and you should deserve to get other things. But anyway, the things that they're giving away, a few little nameplates and avatars for your profile, which, you know, whatever. But I'm sure it was something we can give people now. And the thing that they're working on giving people down the road, which they're saying should be sometime in this first quarter, in the spring maybe, I don't know. But Halo ODST will be added as a downloadable add-on to the Master Chief Collection. which is pretty cool. It's just the campaign mode, no firefight, which it, you know, is kind of a bummer because I like the firefight in that too. But I don't mind seeing the campaign being added to that. That's kind of a neat thing. But
I actually enjoyed ODST quite a bit. I really enjoyed the parts where they actually had like actors from sci-fi shows. They had Jane from Firefly, and they had one of the characters from Battlestar Galactica, I think, in there.
Yeah.
So it was fun to hear those guys banter back and forth.
Yeah.
So
Nathan Fillion and Adam Baldwin, and I can't remember the actress's name, but she from Battlestar. She was the sexy Cylon babe.
Yep.
I like the campaign. And I'm looking forward to adding it. I just hope it works by the time it's out.
There is that.
Yeah. I mean, at least, you know, the campaigns have been the least broken part of the Master Chief Collection. So adding another campaign is probably the safest thing they can do. And not adding firefight makes it a little safer, I guess. I don't know. But, it's still got a ways to go, man. Oh, and they are giving something to everybody. Another map. They've contracted Certain Affinity to do another remastered Halo 2 map. So we're going to get a remastered version of Relic added sometime in the next few months here. Oh, and everybody gets a free month of gold. So that's that. Actually, the free month of gold is supposed to be out sometime this month. So we're about halfway through it. So, yeah, there's that. Games with gold for January. Xbone said was Dark Dreams Don't Die, which is free all month. On the 360, you've got 1 day left to pick up THQ's game MX versus ATV Alive, which, like most of these games with gold, I've downloaded it. I haven't gotten around to playing it yet. And in the second half of the month, we're going to have The Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings, which I know absolutely nothing about, but I will probably buy it and have it sit on my hard drive until I get around to playing it.
So this
my 360
is probably,
hard drive fills up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm teetering on that. This is probably one of their smartest games with gold, though, right? Give the old version away for free that's a few years old right before the third one comes out and try to hook as many people into that as you can. So
right.
It's pretty ingenious.
Yeah. Oh, there's going to be some kind of ulterior motive. We'll give them this one, and then they'll want to get the next one, which I don't really have a problem with.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out because I have not played any of The Witchers, but The Witcher 3 does look interesting. So if I can try one for free, I'm all about that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't know anything about it, but now I've got an opportunity to try it. And, you know, that's what happened back with Assassin's Creed, to be honest, is I had not played it at all. They gave away Assassin's Creed 2 with Games with Gold, and I really enjoyed it. My son enjoyed it, and he has picked up every single Assassin's Creed since. So,
diabolical.
Got some sales that way.
Diabolical.
Yeah. So, yeah, in addition to having issues just waiting for installing games on Christmas Day, we've had a little bit of a problem playing games on Christmas Day, thanks to certain shenanigans from certain people who like to take down networks and stuff.
Insert fire medic quote here.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I found this again is on the Xbone, if it tries to connect and fails, it doesn't let you do very much. Mm-hmm. But if you either pull your network cord out, or you can actually do it by going to your system settings and network and saying go offline, it won't even try to connect, and mm-hmm. it won't fail, and it'll let you in.
Nice. That's a good tip, yeah. I ran into the same issue, and I didn't think about pulling the network cord. So I ended up just hopping on the 360, which was not having problems. So
yeah, right? So, yeah, and for some reason, it doesn't feel like the network's really fully recovered, and I don't know if they're just having ongoing issues or what the deal is, but they seem to be having issues a lot lately.
Yeah, Friends app.
Not, yeah.
The Friends app is shaky.
Yeah.
So.
But, like you guys were saying last week, is it came up a lot faster than PlayStation Network. They took even longer to recover. So I don't know how much of this is external attack and how much of it is just, their network is, or their, they've just been having internal issues, but it's been a very shaky holiday season.
As much as I love the new console, you know what? The Xbox Live service itself running on the One has never felt quite as solid as the 360 version of Live. And I don't know if that's been your takeaway from it, but there's been quite a few times where it's just like, oh, we can't access your achievements right now. Or, oh, no one's online. And I know you guys are online because, let's face it, there are a lot of geezers out there. It shows everyone offline. So it might be partly internal. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there are still some ongoing issues with young punk kids. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I need to spend some more time on the 360 and see if the service is still shaky there. But, yeah, I don't know what the issue is, because it seems like if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, Xbox Live's having issues. The Xbox One, we called it a beta console for a whole year because it felt like things weren't working as good as they used to. We've had games that have come out, Master Chief Collection being a huge one that just has all kinds of matchmaking issues. Is that bad code on Master Chief Collection? Is that bad code on Xbox Live? Is it the Xbox One? I'm not sure anymore. I don't know who to blame. I just know I'm angry about it all, darn it.
At the same time, there are rock solid games like Turn 10 and Playground have both released just amazing Forza versions this last year, and
very true. Yes,
people can make the Xbox One a beautiful console, but only a few people know how to make that work. Apparently,
I guess. Okay, now speaking of things to get angry about, Evolve is in its open beta as of tomorrow, I think, and you can download the game now, so you can be ready to go. But they have released, or they've announced, all their digital editions and what's going to be included in them. And I don't know, have you seen all this yet?
I have not taken a look at
Let me educate you. So here's the thing now, is they're saying if you pre-order the game, you will get a fourth monster, so I guess the game comes with three, for free. And they're saying that this fourth monster is going to be sold for $15 to add one monster to the game.
That's one badass monster.
Right? So, that's a quarter of the cost of the game right there, one monster. All right. They're
also
selling the digital. Yeah, the digital deluxe version is pretty typical. You get the the full game, and if you pre-order it, you get this extra monster. And it also includes the season pass, which they're going to sell for $25. The digital deluxe version is $80, so you end up saving $5 off the season pass. Which then the season pass will give you four more hunters as they're released, so they're not out yet, so you know, future DLC, and three monster skins, which you'll get immediately at launch. And I'm having a hard time trying to decide if that's worth anything at all. I don't know. The game starts with four hunters, doesn't it? You pick one of the four different classes. So mm-hmm. they're adding four more. I don't know how different they will be, but apparently they think that these four hunters are worth $25. So,
this is one of those games that I can't pre-order. I can't do it. I played the alpha, and I had a Halo Master Chief Collection issue with the alpha. I sat in a lobby for an hour before I played one game, and I played the one game and got destroyed. And I was like, I can't sit through another hour of lobby to try this again. I know people that have got in and played with a good group of people have absolutely loved it, but I need to test that beta out and make sure that they've mm-hmm. got that squared away, because it was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, we tried playing that. I think I played two, maybe three games of that, I think. But it was a long, long wait to get into any one of them. Yeah, hopefully they learned enough that the beta will... and then the release will be fine for them. But I guess we'll start finding out as of tomorrow. Now, here's the thing that's got a lot of people really cheesed about this whole thing. If you pre-order the game now, you could unlock the Wraith, which I think is one of the monster types, and the third tier of hunters in the beta. And also have them unlocked in the release as well when it comes out. And the reason why people are kind of upset about this is to unlock these hunters and the monsters that are in the game, you kind of have to grind through it. So, build up experience or whatever that you do there. So the deal is, if you pre-order, you get to skip the grind and unlock things early, which just, mm-hmm. Pre-order this game so you don't have to play this game as much. And I made a comment, it's like, they're not quite at the point of selling DLC for a beta, but this is pretty darn close. If you pre-order the game now, you unlock things in the beta. What? I don't like the way this is going.
Feel like they're the kind of pay-to-play model. Forza 5 kind of had that, where you could buy the tokens to unlock the really fast cars right away without having to grind through that. This seems kind of, which I didn't do because I love that game and I wanted to enjoy it. But it seems like that's kind of that same model is pre-order. And guess what? Since you pre-ordered and we got your money already, you can have a little bump. So, it's not something I would do, but I mean, there are people that will do it, so.
Yeah. And there's, also the... it doesn't seem like they're reserving anything only for pre-order people. Like, anything you pre-order and get unlocked, you can actually unlock in the game, which I appreciate. It just... and we don't know exactly how this game really plays out. Are the third tier of hunters more powerful than the first tier? I mean, is it something that people are going to be really unbalanced if you pre-order, or you know how it's going to work?
That was gonna
hard
be
to
my
say
other
at this
question.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll know more as the people are playing the beta and against people who have pre-ordered and play the beta. Which I guess that's a good thing, right? Is that we'll actually know at the beta stage if this pre-order crap is really horrendous for the release. If you're playing on the PC, there is a PC Monster Race Edition that's they're selling that for $100, which is going to include everything above plus an unannounced fifth monster and two more hunters, in addition to the four extra ones from the season pass. And
so that's $30 worth of monsters then?
Yes. That would
be okay.
$30 worth of monsters. And let's see, the season pass, the season pass doesn't say it includes that fourth monster. So you only get that for pre-order. So that's the $15 outside of that $25. So that puts hunters at about, the two hunters would be $12.50. Another monster would be $15. So another $17. Of content, and they're going from $80 to $100. Oh, okay, so you're getting ripped off. All right. So yeah, the beta for that's going to start tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to even pick up the beta or not. This whole DLC heavy crap just really kind of cheeses me off, and I'm not sure I even want to get involved with that. But I don't know. Beta will be free to try it out, and when we did play, it was fun enough, I guess. Not anything that made me want to go out and buy it now, but I don't know. We'll see what some other geezers do, and maybe play a few rounds in the beta, and then call it good.
Yeah, but I'm in the same boat too.
Yeah. From what I did play of it, it definitely felt like Left 4 Dead. I could definitely see their roots there, and it's definitely one of those games that you will want to play with friends. And if you don't have friends that are going to be wanting to play it all the time, I don't think it's going to be that fun of a game.
Yep, and that is what made Left 4 Dead so fun, is getting your three other buddies in there and just going crazy on zombies. So, if you don't have the party, I don't see it being a fun game. So.
Yep. Agreed. All right. So one last little bit, the February update has been rolled out to preview dashboard, users, or is in the process of coming out, and it's got a couple of nifty little features. One is transparent tiles on the dashboard. So if you're using a custom background that, you have this nice pretty picture that's covered up with all these big colored tiles on top of it, all these standard colored tiles will have transparency to them, so you can see kind of through to the image, which is pretty kind of cool. Kind of cool. I've already downloaded it, and it's definitely better than it was, but there's still a lot of tiles that have their own picture, so they're not transparent.
Transparency is really cool, but the ads just, it's like, I've got my friends list over here, that's transparent. The standard color tiles are transparent over here, and then in the middle of the screen, it's just, hey, here's the three ads you get to see. It's like, it kind of messes with the flow a little bit, but it is a cool little feature. So what else is on the list there, my friend?
There's also the game hub. So now if you, I'm not sure how this works yet because I haven't tried it out, but I think if you highlight a game and hit the hamburger button, One of the options now is a game hub, which is kind of the profile of the game, like you would see a friend's profile. You see the game,
then
you can see, you know, what your friends are doing in the game and
that kind of thing. It's very similar to the Smart Glass profile, or what is it, Progress, where it has the list of Dragon Age, for example, has how many enemies you've killed, and then it lists out your friends that have that, so it's got that leaderboard to it. It shows the progress of how much of the game you've beat, and just whatever, I don't know how they decide it, but whatever the developers decided is a trackable stat, I guess, shows up in there, and you can kind of look at where your friends are at in correlation to you. But, like you said, it is not one of those easily discoverable features in this nice Xbox One interface. You do have to go to, like, games and apps and then hit the hamburger button on there, and it shows up in there. And it, oddly enough, loads, like, the Friends app to display that. So I figured there was some way to get to it from the Friends app, but it doesn't appear that there is. So, yeah, user interface 101. Make things discoverable. we'll see.
Yeah, that's one of my issues with. It seems they're doing that a lot with their products now, because I found the same thing with Windows 8, and I still find it difficult to find a feature. It doesn't present, hey, this is what you can do here. You have to really dig or click or just the right place to find it.
Yep.
And they seem to have carried that over to the Xbox One interface, which not too great. It does seem, though, that if you're looking for something, that hamburger button is going to be where it hides. So
yes,
if you start using that more, you might find things a little easier. Like, for a long time, getting to settings I thought was so painful, like having to go through the apps and go through the app list and find the settings app. And then I found when you're on the main screen, if you hit that hamburger button, one of the options there is go straight to settings.
Yep.
Like, oh, why, that's handy.
So the one that confused me is the Xbox One guide. If you hit the X button at the main screen, it launches the Xbox One guide. Why? I don't know.
Really?
But, yeah. I was, the only way I knew how to launch that prior to that was with the Kinect and saying One Guide. So, without the Kinect, this system is still not super discoverable.
Well, that's kind of annoying, because I don't have any use for the One Guide. I don't have, I cut the cord years ago, so I don't have a cable subscription. If I want to go to Netflix and watch something, I'll go to Netflix and watch it there. I don't need a One Guide to get me there. And one thing I don't understand, you're in the game, you press your Xbox button, you go back to the home.
Yep.
Why can't you just press the Xbox button and pop back into the game again? I mean, that seems like it should be where you would go. And if now you go to the One Guide, I'm going to be even more annoyed, because
the X button.
Oh, the what?
The X button on, I'm pretty
Wait,
sure.
Wait, what? The X, yeah. X button launched? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
X button.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes sense to somebody somewhere. Okay. Wow.
So.
Okay, then.
Yeah, that was one of those. Oh, hey, look, the One Guide launched, too. Okay. All right. I'll remember that from now on. Speaking of television, there were some nice updates for our European friends on the update.
Yeah.
Don't get to see.
I know. I don't know why they aren't launching that tuner here, because we get over-the-air HD broadcast in the U.S., but we don't get the HD tuner. So if you are overseas and using an HD tuner, you can now stream TV to a smart glass device. If you're running on Windows or Windows Phone or Android, you can stream your HD content to that smart glass device, which I wonder if do you think game streaming will be coming anytime soon? What do you think?
You know what? That would be an awesome feature, but I really, you know what? It's like a sling box that you don't pay the cable bill to watch. So I would really, really like that TV feature. If I could just, you know, sit in the park and hit smart glass and pull up CBS on the park bench and stream it to my phone. I know there's probably an app on the phone that will do that, but there's just something really cool about having your Xbox connected via smart glass and stream over the air TV to your phone. I find that a really cool feature, and I'm quite frustrated that we can't get that.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is with that, but such as it is. But anyway, that's going to be pretty much it for this week. And we've got a big show planned for next week, our 200th episode, with founders coming to visit us and giveaways and all kinds of fun things happening. So definitely tune in next week. If you're interested in the giveaways, you got to listen live. So listen to blogtalkradio.com/geezercast, and all the instructions are there for getting online. And hopefully it'll work better next week than it's working this week, so I don't have to be calling in on my cell phone. So anyway, Mossfly, thanks for joining me.
Anytime, buddy.
If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/geezercast. Got an email address at geezercast@geezergamers.com, and we're always online on the forums at geezergamers.com. On behalf of Mossfly, it's Cyber Knight. See you online. Shrine.